The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. Welcome back again to our second hour of the Power Hour here, 8 a.m. Central Time, Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. I just got a notice in from Carolyn Blakeman. She is with the Halt Hospital Homicide Convention that I was at on the 25th of last month. And I'm quoting this, a bombshell legal writ of quo warranto was just filed against the U.S. government by international attorney Todd Callender, exposing the shocking findings that none of the top U.S. cabinet officials in the Biden administration have valid oaths of office to have their authority to serve in their current capacities. This includes VP Harris, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretaries of the Treasury, Energy, Homeland Security, Labor, and FDA, as well as Vice President Kamala Harris. That, in effect, means that those at the top of our government now have not had the legal authority under the U.S. law and Constitution to issue orders that have led to the tyrannical powers violating our core constitutional rights since the COVID pandemic began. Fraudulently U.S.-installed cabinet members and heads of critical government agencies have led to destruction of the rule of law. Attorney Callender and physician Dr. Lee for America are discussing on a podcast how the fundamental fraud has led the American people, has led to catastrophic damage we've seen in this country on all fronts, lost lives, rising disabilities from the COVID shots, open borders, decimation of our military, closed businesses, and economic and environmental damage, rise of lawlessness and crime, and by the malfeasance of our regulatory agencies such as the CDC and FDA, who have become part of the lies, deception, and fraud against the American people. For one example, if Secretary of Defense Austin didn't take the oath, everything he did is void, including his order for 1.4 million U.S. troops to effectively commit suicide by taking the COVID kill shot. What about leaving Afghanistan? Did he have the authority to do that? These are just two of the hundreds of critical questions that require further investigation and legal actions. For those of you who do not know what a quo warranto is, it's a special form of legal action used to resolve a dispute over whether a specific person has the legal right to hold public office that he or she occupies. Quo warranto is used to test a person's legal right to hold an office, not to evaluate the person's performance in the office. In law, especially English and American common law, quo warranto, medieval Latin for by what warrant, is a prerogative writ requiring the person to whom it is directed to show what authority they have for exercising some right, power, or franchise they claim to hold. Without such legal authority, their actions are voided. Understand what I just read. This just got put out this morning. I just got notified of. That's breaking news in my book. And I use that as a precursor to our next guest, who we've had on the show before. He is a U.S. National Counterterrorism and EMS Advisor and Trainer, Chief Scientist, Counter Bioterrorism Division, Biochem Engineering Executive Director of the Violence Prevention Agency, and he's a clinical psychologist. He researched and discovered the origin of COVID-19 with snake venom prior to Dr. Artis going public with it. And, of course, now, when he submitted his research to the FBI, crickets. He is a South African registered clinical psychologist and violence prevention specialist. He earned his doctorate in education with a concentration in organizational leadership from Nova Southeastern University and is a graduate of the Advanced Threat Assessment and Threat Management Academy of Gavin De Becker and Associates. Dr. Braun serves as an advisor to Safe and Sound Schools, a Sandy Hook initiative, and Firestorms Crisis and Emergency Management Expert Council. So we are blessed again to have Dr. Tal Braun on the show. Welcome back, sir.
It's an absolute pleasure to be back. And just like you were just saying in terms of this breaking news of wondering where authority comes from, Every time my bio is read, I always want to tell everybody that, like many of us, a lot of what we were doing previous has now changed. And so for me, I think it's interesting how those that have put themselves in authority over us are also matched by many of us that have taken on roles that we were never asked to do the work either, and be the countermeasure to their countermeasures. A very, very sobering, legal case that you just brought. I'm certainly not somebody that is an expert on constitutional law, but boy, have I been wishing that that those that want to hold on to this republic step forward with these kind of legal matters.
Well, they are going to have to answer it, and if they don't, then something is definitely wrong here, and somebody needs to enforce it, but. I appreciate your coming on the show, because the last time that we were on, we were talking about the missed emails between you and Dr. Artis, because apparently he didn't get your email and didn't bother to check his folders for about several months. And then the two of you finally got together and figured out what COVID-19 was. And then we also found out that Pfizer purchased Genentech, which has patents on like 19 different snake venom peptides. And, of course, this is nothing. All of the stuff that's going on right now that they're trying to basically put into our vaccines now, as well as remdesivir, which Dr. Artis calls run, death is near, and all of these things have stuff in there to exacerbate the immune system shutdown. And this basically what we were referring to. And I talked to Dr. Artis at the Halt Hospital Homicide Convention about this, and we come to the conclusion this is definitely a method being used to depopulate the world.
I completely agree with that. I think that there's a couple of points that I've been making sure that people hear, and I've been more and more urgent about them. And I'll, off the top of my head, I'll say that the primary thing is that we now live in a world where this particular spike protein is ubiquitous. It's unavoidable. Whether it's going to be whether this type of technology gets further and further into our food source, whether it is further and further into our critical infrastructure in every facet of our life, whether it's in our water supply, whether it's in the air, whether it's in our food, whether it's in the things that we have to use as consumers, they are moving ahead very, very swiftly to replace the manufacturing process of toxins and poisons, which is essentially what the industry of pharmaceutical is built on, using a poison or a toxin with just the right amount of dose to create illness and sickness in the body as an attempt for the human body or an animal body to fight back. It's such an upside down and perverse model to start off with, rather than bolstering the natural structures of the body, rather than making sure that it has the resources and capabilities. It really is the worst of a threat management model. It's completely always in crisis. It's always in response. It's very, very heavy weighted towards after the fact, left what people would call right of bang. In military terms, the incident has already taken place. Allopathic medicine is all about right of bang. Something has taken place. Now I have to fix it with something. This is very similar to the work that I've done in trying to educate school systems and trying to educate the public in what it is to look out for in terms of a threat. And understanding the nuances of what a threat is, that's part of the world, the exploit that these predators have used, is that human beings by far are one of the most trusting species, because as a herd gets bigger, it becomes more important for a herd to know when to panic, when to stampede, when to move together, when to hold on to individuality. And so human beings, by sheer numbers, have got this inherent capacity to listen to each other, to be in community. And so they've exploited that. What they've come in my what I call the triple D formula, they basically divide us, they distract us, and then they destroy us. And so for every facet of our life that we're now coping with, you can know that part of that destructive process is more and more toxicity, whether it's in a food source, whether it's in a boardroom, whether it's in social media, whether it's around a picnic table at a barbecue. It is literally the toxicity that we're all coping with, both in a physical form and a mental form, that's dividing us further and further, not just as a nation, as a world. The constant bickering and the constant fighting is absolutely part of what's taking place, with weakening our natural immune system as we fight off just natural events and natural oxidative stress. And so that's one of the main points that I've been making recently, which is, let's not separate ourselves out, the vaccinated, the unvaccinated. We are now all actually pretty much in the same boat, and we need to come together to decide where we're rowing to. Where's the closest shore? Where is the port that we're all going to? What are our value systems that now drive us home?
Well, and see, earlier in the show, Dr. Braun, I was talking about the possibility that the central banking digital currencies would be introduced to serve as choke points to force those who are unvaccinated to get the jab so that they can get this into as many people as possible for the purposes of not only controlling their health, but their finances and every single aspect, including the ability to survive. I mean, they literally... With this stuff, it's possible with mRNA and the graphene oxide and everything else that's in these things to just flat out kill people at some point in time and make it look like their immune systems were compromised. And so, I mean, using the digital currencies as a choke point, I mean, am I out of base here? Am I off base, or am I right on with what I was just saying?
No, you're right on. And I think that, you know, what people have to realize is that for a person who is, around a round peg in a round peg world, it's hard for people to imagine what it is to live in a world where you are resistant to anything. And resistance can create innovation. And so even being an innovator in an unwelcomed world, in terms of the choke points of all of this, are tiny, tiny circles of people that are allowed to be involved in innovation. The world is filled, and not just new history, old history is filled with people that come up with all kinds of creative ways to make the planet better, only to see that those inventions are bought off, stolen, blocked, patents blocked, or even just, promises of, let's bring this to market, and then it gets crushed. And part of what I tell people is that unless you are in a space where you are doing something different, you may not even notice these kind of choke points. Somebody might say, well, what's the big deal with having a centralized currency? What's the big deal with having more regulations? But I'll tell you, the big deal affects even me personally. I brought out two products to market during this time. I answered the call as a professional where people said, Doc, is this a bioweapon? And not only was I able to very quickly tell professionals in the security and safety space, in law enforcement, in emergency management, not only were I able to confirm what they were hearing as rumors, I was able to start explaining how this biological bomb works, give them warnings in terms of where this is going, give them warnings of not to touch this thing that they would call a vaccine. I mean, they had to change the definition, a biological term that had been around for hundreds of years, that had changed the definition of how they were even defining what a vaccine is, just to make this thing fit. I gave fair warning to people. I gave fair warning to the public. But more importantly, I started going to work and building mitigation strategies. I started looking, what is the exploit? If this thing is venom, if this thing is a cationic charged particle, then why aren't we beating this down with other charged particles? Where's the exploit that switches this bomb off? And I brought two products to market And I've got a couple of days left before I have to move those supplements off to another payment platform, because the payment platform that I was on canceled me, just like they've canceled many, many supplements, just like they've taken off things like some of the nicotinamide type products off Amazon. I think people were aware that products like NAC were disappearing. Countries around the world have now got upper limits where vitamin D, that's been saving lives. They're trying to tell doctors that vitamin D now at certain levels has to only be at prescription. The threat on us on these choke points is not only to remove our ability to buy and sell, which is the thing that drove us into having an independent republic in the first place, the ability for a foreign entity anywhere to tell you, hey, you can't conduct fair business. That's what's happening to people. The inability to receive goods, the inability to pay for somebody to barter or trade is really what they're after here. It's not just that they want to track. It's that they want to say, no, you cannot own this, whether it's a Second Amendment right or a First Amendment right. You can't even own your words anymore if your words are incorrect, if your ideas don't fit a narrative. Then they want the ability just to squash that, like the same way as they squash the bugs of the world, the same way as they have no ability to see and connect the dots into how even nature works. These are people that historically over time, there's always people amongst us that for their own personal issues they become control freaks, and then for the rest of us, we have to suffer if they don't have the empathy that's required to be able to see the world as a bigger picture, to be able to see everything as having its important place under the sun. If these people have put themselves in some sort of perverse parental-like position where they say, no, we get to decide when the world is overpopulated. We get to decide that we want to control the type of energy that's used. And that goes as far the assault that we are under, is that at a very primary level, all of this mRNA technology relies on two main processes. One, it's taking over the human body or an animal body and reprogramming its own cells, its own homeostasis of what it's building, what it's countering, and taking hold of that, just like a radio controlled a drone like object that take over the human body and its cells. And the second part about that is, to be able to do that, they have to play with the most primitive mechanisms of procreation on our planet. And so they actually play with the idea of what life and death is, when cells get to switch on, when what cells get to switch off. And so they are playing with even our battery sources. The assault of these spike proteins, the primary structure that they're impacting, which impacts the entire body, are the mitochondria, the little battery packs. So when you hear about the sort of scale version of this, when you hear about climate control, when you hear about carbon neutral, you also realize that in their program of carbon neutral and of changing over the world's battery supply, human beings are not off list. They are not off that list. They're not off limit to these freaks that decided that they know better than the world, that they would put us themselves as ultimate controllers of what they see as a giant safari park.
Well, this sounds like transhumanism. I like to call it Manchurian candidate stuff. They literally can control the mindset, which brings me to another point, which might be even more topical as to the stuff that you've been talking about lately, Dr. Braun. And that's, you know, we just had a transgender allegedly identifying shoot up a school in Nashville, killing 6 people, 3 kids and 3 adults. And this transgender thing now has become the focus of the libtard left, and they want to further push this thing in Washington state. They're getting ready to pass a bill, or trying to pass a bill, where they don't have to inform parents of any of this stuff. They can take their kids, they can put them in a different, you know, home. They can see to it that they get all sorts of, you know, puberty blockers and, you know, cross-sex hormones and gender modification, the whole 9 yards, without parental consent or knowledge And the parents can't do anything about it. I mean, this is the kind of draconian garbage that's going on in the system now. But now they want to use school violence. And Bill Lee is now saying, the governor of Tennessee, is they want a red flag law out there that can virtually determine a person's mental capability and take away their right to own a gun. So now you've been speaking out about all of this, have you not?
I've been speaking about this for years, and there's so much in what you just said. The primary important thing to know is that none of these things are in a vacuum. So when people hear about extremists, when they hear about agendas that sound crazy to them, when they hear about structures that are changing in our society that would make it that a child that says that they want to identify as something is under threat if the parents are not going along with it. What we have to always remember is that there's when laws are changing and policies changing, those are never end points. The end point, if there's something big going on, is always hidden within the agenda. And it's the same way as when they try and pass a bill, and when they're looking for a change in our Congress or in our Senate. You always have to ask yourself, well, what are they ultimately? What's hidden in this package deal over here? And it's in the hidden language. So part of the threat that we are under here is that the people like Dr. Martine Rothblatt, who's a big driver of the transgender movement, they've realized, in their own words, not mine. This is not an assumption. This is directly from people like Dr. Martine Rothblatt. They've realized that to create a transhumanist world, and for those that don't know what that is, it's the idea that basically we are not our bodies. This is the perverse form of quantum theory. This is the perverse form of consciousness. This is the type of stuff where they exploit the idea where we talk about a soul, where we talk about, when people have religious belief systems that their lives have meaning and purpose and there's a higher power. When people want to exploit that, what they then take from that is that the same method of let's say teaching impermanence in Buddhism, that you shouldn't be afraid of death because your energy goes on, that is a great notion. That's a great idea to help people to not walk around with anxiety. But what if somebody says you are not your body? Therefore, you could, if you wanted to, suicide right now, and you are not ending. And if you have any fears around that, well, what if I tell you that I have a way to digitize your entire life, to take who you are, to even make predictions based on your genetics, on who you would evolve to, so that we can spring forward into the future and find a version of yourself to upload into the cloud? I'm not making this up. This is what these people have said that they've been doing, that they want to do for decades. And they're very far into their plan. The crazy part about the world that we're living in right now is that we are in an accelerated time where all of these dystopian ideas, the 1984 type stuff, the Brave New World that was written in the 30s, we're now living in that reality that in real time, these things are happening. So in short, the transgenderism that we're seeing, an extreme version of it, an extreme version of any form of ism, starts creating radicals. It starts creating people looking for martyrdom. It starts looking for people that represent the cause in some sort of extreme way. It's the flavor of the month. And so we already know that all mass killers have a form of identity crisis and they have a form of sexual issue, some form of sexual issue. It can be pedophilia. It can be somebody that is that's homosexual, that is not living the life that they want to be living. It can be that they have some obscure way of thinking about sexuality, or it could just be like the involuntary celibates, people that are known as incels, find the world so distasteful, simply because they cannot find a mate, and it drives them into existential crisis. There is always a threat. All of my research pointed towards some form of identity crisis that related to legacy, the idea that, once again, the how important it is, these fundamental principles of procreation, these fundamental principles of sentimentality, I matter. These are the exploits that these people use. And their primary aim of transgenderism is get people to the point where legally we start changing our laws to say we are not who we are biologically, by our genitalia, and then take it further than that. Not only are you not defined by your sexual orientation or your genetics, you're not even defined by having a body. That's the price tag. That's what they want. And what they've realized, and what's the blatant lie in their program is, they've realized that every step along a transition process, not only a sexual identity transition process, but just being human, the amount of maiming that they've done in this war to us, in this current assault with this vaccine and with the bioweapon known as SARS-CoV-2, the amount of maiming that they've done is requiring all kinds of organ transplants, skin grafting. This is a connective tissue and a collagen disorder, in principle. And so they've realized that at every step of the way, there is money to be made on the destruction. This is the industrial military complex. Normally it gets to function on its own, but when it combines with the world of medical transplantation and pharmaceuticals, you've now got the ultimate triple threat, which is that those that want to assault us are using health as their tool, the assault on people's health and making profit along the way. And so that pathway is now showing up in the same way as when you take let's say you take a religion and you make it extreme, you'll have extremists. You take those extremists and you give out prizes. You reward the people for being terrorists. You give them Wikipedia pages. You give their family money. Whatever it is, ultimately, it gives them a sense that what they're doing is socially sanctioned in their community, and that death and destruction becomes a prize. It becomes a possession that people can own. You know, this idea of you own nothing and you'll be happy you can take it as a step where homelessness and being driven penniless and having our money taken away from us and being forced to use a digital token that allows anybody to switch a human being off and on because of all of their assets are tied to one computer away. That sense of will own nothing and be happy is ultimately the highest form of suicide, because ultimately you can own nothing, and the only happiness that you can have is then to escape the pain and suffering that you're under, which is why certain countries like Canada have made it easier now for assisted suicide. The pain and suffering will end, and the happiness that somebody will get is when they actually escape this gruesome world that these freaks have created. And so, I mean, I think the primary importance for anybody, and I'm sure your audience is, as you are, is well informed about this, is that we are not in a sense of denial. We are not gaslit. And so when you know that you're sane, we have to bind together as a community to talk through these things, because these things that we're watching are absolutely crazy. I remember a quote that I once read that I found very helpful as I became a clinical psychologist was a quote that said, insanity is a sane way of dealing with reality.
There you have it. We're at the break right now. We're going to be back with Dr. Tal Braun after these words. And of course, my belief, and we're going to expound on this, is that this entire thing is being driven by ChatGPT and OpenAI, otherwise known as artificial intelligence. They're using that as the platform. We'll be back after the break to discuss it with Dr. Tal Braun here on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. We are also joined by Dr. Tao Braun, continuing from our last segment here. And we were talking about this transhumanism, transgenderism. Now, here's a new twist. You've got the potential, because of ChatGPT, which is now being integrated into the legal profession, it will actually be used to write briefs. Really? I mean, what kind of representation are you going to have in a court of law if you have artificial intelligence capable of doing things like creating deep fake porn? We have a story on our email blast that we're sending out to everybody today, and it has to do with deep fake porn, which could be a growing problem amid artificial intelligence. This AI can be used to create art, try on clothes in virtual fitting rooms, help design advertising. It literally could propound lies about transgenderism, all the things that we've been talking about. But just imagine all of a sudden a Twitter feed pops up and it's got porn in it and it's got your picture imported into the actor or actress. This is primarily designed to hurt women. Because, see, the whole idea is break up the family unit so we can't fight. This is something that Dr. Tal Braun and I have been talking about in this last segment. We've got some callers right now, 844-769-2944. Joe in Arkansas, you're on the phone with Dr. Tal Braun. Go ahead.
Okay, Dave, I hope you don't mind if I change the subject just for a minute. But you might remember, listeners will probably remember that Joyce Riley, several years ago, put a lot of effort into fighting the National Animal ID System, which the United States Department of Agriculture was trying to bring in, you know, that anyone that had any farm animals, chickens, you know, hogs, sheep, goats, cows, whatever, would have to register their premises and then put a RFID tag in all their animals and then report all their movements to the federal government. And it was defeated for a while, but now the USDA is trying to bring that back. And starting with cattle that are moved in interstate commerce. And so the Farm-to-Consumer Legal Defense Fund is trying to get people to send in their comments to the USDA. Today and tomorrow is the April 19th is the deadline for sending in your comments to USDA opposing this bringing back of the National Animal ID System. So if you want to get your comments in, please go to farmtoconsumer.org. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Then you click on the menu button, then you click on action alerts, and then you go to US April 19, tell the USDA no on electronic ID tags. Okay, thank you very much for the time, Dave.
Yep. Joe, I appreciate it. Thank you. And it's not really changing the subject. It goes right along with everything Dr. Tal Braun has been talking about this last half hour, Joe. The thing is it's all part of a control. It's all part of a choke point. They want to RFID and put chips in animals so they can study the behaviors. They'll be able to tell whether they've been jabbed. I mean, this thing is going full tilt boogie. They want to control our food supply. We've already had 18,000 cows blown up in Dimmitt, Texas already just happened. They are literally trying to destroy our food supply so they can control us and make us eat bugs. But this thing with artificial intelligence, I mean, this is the platform that they are using to control the entire system of things. This is what they want. Blockchain, digital currencies, it's all going to be driven by artificial intelligence. And what they're going to do is use AI to lie to people to further their agenda. Dr. Braun, am I off base again or am I right on with this?
You're right on, and your caller was right on. So I want to read you a quote just from yesterday, where in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams, he says he wants New Yorkers to eat less meat to help combat climate change. And his words were, food is the third biggest source of cities' emissions, right after buildings and transportation. But not all food is created equal. And he goes on to talk about how to reduce carbon emissions, we are all going to need to eat less meat. And so New York City is on track with this. What this means right now is that essentially they're going to be building in more and more programs that make it more and tougher for restaurants to have meat. They could potentially the city could eventually have a ban on meat. And ultimately, what you're saying about any of these AI platforms is what we are being replaced with is that this time period has shown how few people have critical thinking, how few people are willing to use common sense, and how few people are able to rise to the occasion when their own intuition, what Gavin De Becker would call the gift of fear, if something is in your intuition is telling you something's off, you need to trust it. Well, if you are now trusting more and more for a non-human to make your decisions for you, and you are not even aware that that's taking place, then ultimately the ultimate control that they can have is get people to stop thinking on their own and go to these search engines or go to an AI platform and to ask a question that the computer can spell out the answer. And so if you think about it, this replaces all form of art. This replaces all forms of true science. It replaces the discovery process. It replaces the idea that we are not just a binary functioning creature. We are built to have emotion, to have sentimentality. If this AI told you to kill your offspring, and people don't question that, just like they've done with these vaccines. You can see how dangerous it is to create a god that is a machine that we have all programmed. What people don't realize is we are providing the data for the machine. The machine's doing nothing on its own. We are telling it what we are. We are telling it who we want to be. And then we're ultimately handing over. This is the last stage of being disempowered. We're handing over all decision-making processes. This is replacing art currently, what you talked about in terms of the threat of porn. Beyond the embarrassment of somebody seeing themselves in some form of porn, if that porn was criminal by nature, then that could be prosecuted. Somebody would have to defend themselves. The idea of being innocent, we've already seen, has fallen away. You're no longer innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until proven innocent. The deep fakes are controlling our world in terms of how we think certain countries are at war with each other. And it can be used as a way to basically make somebody, to entrap somebody, and then they have to defend whether they created the art, whether that was them in some sort of criminal act, whether that was them shown in a video murdering another human being. We will face the machine, not only physically having to fight these things like the digi dogs that can be weaponized and put out there. Robot dogs exist. Robot soldiers exist. We will not only face them and have to face them in tangible ways. We will have to face them in the intangibles, which is even harder, through our legal system and even through our creative process. An artisan that builds something will now have to compete with the fake version on every level. This is turning our back on what it is to be alive and to be able to create. We are in competition with those that want to make a synthetic version of every aspect of our life. And when I read that the mayor was talking about getting rid of meat. What is very interesting to me is that people are not aware that SARS-CoV-2 changes the biology of how we process food. And already long haulers already having issues, people that have the vaccine injured or have not recovered from an infection. This is the highest form of food allergies. It becomes really difficult to eat anything. And so they've got a double assault over here. They will starve us to death because they'll take away the real meat that people are requiring for their health, and they'll replace it with the synthetic meat, which is not only toxic on its own, but because of these bioweapons, people are now deadly allergic to these fake meat products. The other thing that you're right on track with when you talk about these platforms is that the human being up to this point, one of the things that we're all protected by from a psychological point of view is when people think about that, you mentioned Manchurian Candidate, or people talk about MK Ultra, or even just hypnosis, stage hypnosis or therapeutic hypnosis. One of the interesting things about the human brain is that we are supposed to have a good sense of buffer, that we're not supposed to be able to do anything that crosses over a threshold of what we perceive our own morality to be. But that can be shaped if somebody doesn't know that their morality is being given to them in some sort of artificial way. So what people don't know, for example, that they tested out during this pandemic is when people were calling hotlines in hospital systems to ask questions about the vaccine, they assumed they were talking to a human being. But just before the pandemic, just as the pandemic started, synthesizer bot systems were bought up and were used and deployed as information sources. So some mom could call a hotline with a real concern that they didn't want their child getting this vaccine, and it would be a computer that was telling them that it's safe for their child. Because ultimately, you may not have found enough human beings to come across as genuine enough and to be as callous and uncaring to be able to give out information when even to this point there is no long-term safety data. So that would make it very difficult for a human being to absolutely lie to the point where if somebody challenged them. But if you give if you hand this over to AI, like you've said, to a platform, and that platform is lying without any form of regret, remorse, or any way for us to detect it, you have the ultimate trickster of the universe.
Well, it goes worse than that, Dr. Braun. Elon Musk was on Tucker Carlson last night doing an interview where he admitted that his open AI platform, he neglected to pay more attention to Tesla and SpaceX, and in the process, OpenAI has been taken and modified to the point where he said it could literally destroy civilization. And I'm going back and my reasoning is kicking in. I'm going, wait a minute. If this thing is capable of lying, imagine if this thing was able to get programmed enough by the right people. It literally could send messages to one country's leaders telling them that they were under a nuclear attack where they would literally turn around and retaliate. And we could literally, the AI literally could destroy civilization as we know it. That is a possibility, is it not?
Oh, I think that's already taking place. I feel that the entire, the test of this in our lifetime right now is Ukraine and Russia and all the misinformation on both sides and all the deep fakes and the fact that actually nobody has a good sense of read and that these Pentagon files confirmed what a lot of us already know, that we are in a kinetic war, that the U.S. is using, is we in a proxy war, that we're using Ukraine, but we're actually fighting Russia physically, tangibly, with our weaponry, with our commands. The Ukrainian president may pretend, once again, here's the synthetic version, here's the puppet, here's the show that says, you know, I'm in charge, these are my decisions that I'm making for my country. Well, we all know that that's a false narrative, but when you combine it with fake pictures, when you combine it with fake instructions, you're 100% correct that the more that becomes digitized and the more that's run from a platform, we lose control of that sense of power. I think what's scary about Elon Musk talking about any of this stuff and what makes me quite pessimistic about our hand in stopping all of this and why I know that it takes a community rather than an individual is that if you have a look at how wealthy and how powerful this human being is, and even him, he will speak in this really, really pessimistic way. And he just, he's gone along with this pandemic. He's heavily invested in mRNA technology. And here's a person in terms of their financial worth and in terms of the power and the deals they could make. They could literally be saving humanity, but they are so entwined in the whole system and so narcissistic in their viewpoint. Elon Musk, in his own words, realizes that the real threat here is that even his way of thinking is a threat to the planet, that he invested in something that was then supposed to be a nonprofit that then lost control. And ultimately, what he's aware of is that, in his own words, he believes that we're in a simulation. So in the minute somebody believes that this is all a simulation, which it well could be, they've already admitted that they're not as sentimental as most people are. They don't cry over things of loss easily. They're not having sleepless nights thinking about how many people have been lied to and will go and continue on taking their boosters and be dead within the next few years. You cannot lose sentimentality and still call yourself a human. And so that's what scares me. It scares
well, he
me.
Acted. Dr. Braun, he
that?
Acted like that. He acted very narcissistic last night in the show going, well, you know, that's one of the mistakes I made and thought it was funny. And I'm just like, no, this is not funny. This is no laughing matter. Whether Tucker actually read, you're reading way past what Tucker Carlson is reading right now, because Fox News, as far as we're concerned, is part of the mainstream media. But the fact that he's got Elon Musk on here and he's interviewing him and everybody thinks Elon Musk is great and he's this great inventor and all this. Now, this is all just part of this agenda, this hidden agenda that you were talking about. Brady in Vegas, you're on the phone with Dr. Tal Braun. Go.
Yeah, speaking of Elon Musk, he's the one who provided the Starlink system to the Ukrainian Ukro-Nazis that are used against the Russian forces. I don't think Vlad's too happy with that, man, nor am I. Also, he dressed as Baphomet on Halloween last year, so That guy is not too high up in my book. But I want to thank you, Dr. Braun, for bringing up the fact that the spike protein is really a snake protein. And who do you think actually, can you specifically go to one person that you can think of and narrow it down who was the inventor of the death jab?
Thanks for your question there, Brady. Go ahead, Dr. Braun. Do you know?
Yeah, well, I think you have to be break it down in terms of who is the instructor and who, you know, ultimately who's the engineer. And so the person at the top that's driving this insanity is Bill Gates. You know, for me, the most the weirdest part about all of this is, as human beings, we often need the destruction to be kinetic. We need somebody shooting up a school or stabbing human beings cutting people up with a machete to know that we're seeing an assault. An assault out of boardrooms is not seen in the same way. Pushing a button and killing a life is not seen in the same way. Making an awful decision and taking millions of dollars as your bonus while laying off thousands of people in the holidays is an assault that is just as deadly as kinetics. It's deadly. It's just as deadly as driving a projectile body into another human body and bleeding them out. If somebody can't afford food, if they can't afford medical care, if their stress overwhelms them, these are all assaults. So at the top of all of this is a very, very narcissistic psychopath who's ultimately, in my opinion, just trying to please daddy. These folks all have a similar pattern for me. And so at the top of all of this, in terms of who's in charge of the death jab and why did this thing get put on the planet and who's been funding it and the systems that would even allow something, you have to look towards Bill Gates. But then ultimately, you have scientists like Rolf Barrick who basically play around with this as some form of attention-seeking behavior. They gloat about what they're able to get, the things to do, and what they're able to build. This is, ultimately people that play with death machines and have a perverse sense of, almost a maniacal laugh that comes with it. Oh, look, we can combine this substance with this substance, and then it does this, and it's not supposed to do that in nature. And ultimately, they know that is a death process rather than a life process. That's the part to it where there's always an obsession with these people around killing. And so Rolf Barrick is on the top of my list, but he's not a singular person. This is a team of scientists that worked on things, individual components, sort of like putting together a weapon system where one person builds the trigger, another person's got the barrel, one person's got the the projectile that's going to be used, and ultimately somebody has to assemble it. In this case, the assembly point, the execution of this on a global level is Gates. It's not a very direct answer because I know that there's a lot of players. You need a gatekeeper like Fauci. You need the funneling of money.
I was just going to say that.
Fauci. And DARPA. And these players, and ultimately, like Donald Rumsfeld, these people have been involved. The industrial military complex is the controller of the weapon. They're not necessarily the designer, and they're part of a system. When you look at a school, attack, for example, that's more than one person, you generally only find two people that can come together like Columbine. Anytime that you have a third or a fourth, it starts falling apart. The only time that you can have multiple people assault the world in some form of terroristic act is when it is agenda-based. It has to be driven by ideology. And then you will have people being able to work on a project as a team in their individual parts, sometimes just even looking away from what's being doing, from what's happening and not reporting it, knowing that ultimately it's going to serve your agenda. It and doesn't even have to be well organized. That's what the nature of conspiracy.
The 2020 riots, and they are allowed to get away with it. And our government condoned it and said, oh, yeah, we'll set up a fund. You know, Harris set up a fund for bonds for all of these people that were literally going out and burning down cities and precincts and everything else. Mike in Alaska, you got about a minute to ask a question and make a comment. Go.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I saw that interview of that pompous ass Elon Musk. You know, he brags about freedom of speech on Twitter, and yet he will not allow Alex Jones back on. So his hypocrisy is blinding. But my big worry with artificial intelligence is nuclear bombs. We have in the world right now 19,000 nuclear bombs ready to go off right now. And I think what we should do is focus on satellite destruction, because artificial intelligence will not work without GPS. And I mean, it might to some degree, but not with any accuracy. And I think what we should do is what Trump started, is keep the Space Force going and get ready to take out satellites. Because without satellites, the only thing that'll work will be conventional weapons like North Korea. They're not dumb. They have 200 submarines that are conventional. They do not use satellite. And they're on diesel. They're diesel powered.
Okay.
So anyway, well, I wanted to say.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Dr. Braun, this is not far out of our future, but destruction of satellites, I see that as part. A massive EMP strike. That's another issue we could be facing. And AI could actually generate something like that if we don't get it by a solar flare coronal mass ejection. We are flat out of time for today, Dr. Braun. I appreciate you being on here. We're going to have you back on again, because this is controversy that we cannot ignore. And so I appreciate you being on the show today with us.
To share thoughts, and thank you for your audience calling in.
Thank you. We appreciate you. God bless the work you're doing. Dr. Todd Braun, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have him back on again at a point in time in the future, because this thing is going to get scarier as the time goes on. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. What's left of it, folks, you're going to have to start getting proactive. You got to shop at the Power Mall, because all these other people are going to be raiding the grocery stores. You're not going to have any supplements left. You got to buy them from us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall, here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away.
And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.